Next stop, Interstellar. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, from continent to continent, broadcasting live in every time zone on Earth, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Remember, the Kevin Smith Show is, this isn't something new. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in for the very first time tonight, it's new to you, but we've been here for 12 years, and we're in our 13th year now. We are 100% listener supported. Now, what that means is we need you to stand with us. We need you to join our members community, but more than that, you need to. Do you know what you're missing if you're not a member at the Kevin Smith Show? Well, for one thing, you're not watching the show tonight, and we do televise it live in the members' community. Another thing, you're not able to get to our forums. You can't get to our archives, years of archives, our chat room, our video galaxy, your own friends page, your own blog, your own photo album, your own video album. You can't get to any of that. All of that's in the members community. Great stuff in there. And it's only 25 cents a day. If you take $7.50, divide it by 30 days per month, that comes out to 25 cents a day. You can't beat this. You can't even get close to this at any other show. Guaranteed. You can't do it. But we need you to step to the plate, click where it says join, and join. Start enjoying all the fun. And, you know, it's always free to listen, and we're glad you're listening. But you're listening tonight because someone stepped to the plate, clicked join, and helps us to pay the bills. We need you to help us to pay the bills. All right, we have something absolutely free for everybody. In addition to being able to listen to the show for free all around the world, we have a free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files. And if you are not subscribed, why not? Where's the genius in that? I mean, it's free, and it's a good newsletter. It comes out each week, comes straight to your email inbox. And all you have to do is click where it says K-Files on my website and subscribe. Now, you're going to get, automatically, you're going to get an email with a link in it that you have to click to confirm that you really did subscribe. Somebody didn't just put your email address in there. It'll come to your email address. Also, make sure that you don't have one of those spam filters blocking us, because if you do, you won't get that email. And then you can't confirm your K-File subscription, and then you won't get your K-File subscription. You won't get your K-Files, okay? So make sure your spam filters are not blocking us. This Saturday night, one of the things we do in our members community is I go in the chat room each month for a couple of hours and just hang out. We'll do that this Saturday night at Showtime, so be sure you're there. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Sorry about that squeal you heard. I'm an old guy. I forget to do stuff sometimes. I forgot to turn a knob when we went to break. But I get away with that because of two reasons. I'm an old guy, and I'm allowed to forget stuff. And also, I'm the boss. I'm not going to fire me. So there you go. It is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged tonight to have as my guest on the show, John Ventry. John has been with us a number of times over the years, and we've talked about usually his work with MUFON. But John is, like all of our guests, there are many, many other layers and dimensions to John than his work with MUFON. We may talk some about that tonight. That's possible, but then again, we have some other things we want to get to tonight. You have probably either read some of his books or you have seen him on television. He's been on television a number of times being interviewed about the UFO phenomena. And we're going to start off with that tonight. And John, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
John, you have recently retired, right?
Yeah. My last day at work was last Friday.
That's very recent.
Yes. It's amazing how relaxed. I've lost weight. I've grown a goatee for the first time in 35 years.
Yeah, because the picture you sent me does not have a goatee on the picture.
No, can you see me on the video cam?
I can see you. I was waiting before I put you on screen. It appeared to me you were kind of getting settled in there.
Yeah, well, I got a new dog, too. This is the fifth Doberman I've had. And this one is like him and I are trying to determine who the dominant male in the house is. He's 80 pounds, he's a year old, and he is the most incorrigible dog I've ever had. So right at the start of the show here, he decides he wants to be in it, and he's been jumping up on me and growling and biting me, and you could probably see him. You see him right there?
Yeah, I see him. Well, we'll give him a chance to settle down before we turn the video on, and that'll kind of settle it in. John, you retired after how many years?
35 years with UPS as their state security director. That's a job I held for the last 26 years in six different states with them.
Okay. So you've wrapped that up. Now, in that job, you were the company's liaison between the company and Congress, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, the last 3 years, I ran our congressional program or our public affairs, and we would meet with 22 senators and 4 congressmen, you know, regarding different issues with UPS and transportation. So, it was cool. You know, I spent, I was running 3 states for security and public affairs for the last couple of years.
Now, was it in that capacity or was it in the capacity of your connection with MUFON that you were fairly recently interviewed by CNN or Anderson Cooper?
Yeah. No, that was MUFON related, was the Anderson Cooper show. Yeah, that was, I guess, our international director, Dave McDonald, got a call. They wanted somebody to be on the Anderson Cooper show in New York, and they were looking for a couple of good cases to review. And Dave, I guess, couldn't make it, and I'm the closest to New York. And I grew up in New York, so that was kind of cool to go back there. And so I ended up getting on the show. It aired April 24th.
Okay, so it aired April the 24th, but as I understand it, a lot of what you had to say on the show didn't make it to the air. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, if you were to read the May MUFON Journal, And the article I wrote, which was so positive, and it was like such a cool experience, and I wrote that right after the taping of the show. And then 2 weeks later, the show aired, and it was like night and day between what they showed and what we actually did on the show. I mean, it was actually incredible when you look at it. And I want to talk a little bit about a couple of these witnesses we had there too. Your listeners and yourself probably familiar with the Denise Murder case from 2008. That was the one we were on the Discovery Channel show. She was one of the witnesses, but we also had two witnesses from Kentucky that was on the show also, and they were pretty. They had a pretty good case, so maybe we can get a chance and talk a little bit about what happened with them. But it was just incredible between what we had said on the show, and I thought it went so well, and then what they actually aired was like night and day. But, you know, it's so typical because, you know, I had a couple of witnesses who said they wouldn't go on the show once they heard that it wasn't live. They thought it was the Anderson 360 show, and they thought it was live. So, you know, I had a couple of good witnesses said, nope, I'm not doing a tape show because they're going to edit it, and that's exactly what happened.
All right, so what is it that they cut out that you found to be objectionable?
Well, you know, it's amazing. We were on the show about 40 minutes, and there were a couple of it's funny. The only things that got edited out were the things that I said in defense of the witnesses. Nothing the skeptic said got edited out. And I'll give you a couple examples. At one point, Joe Nickel is the skeptic. He says that the girls, I guess in all three of the witnesses that were there, they saw Jupiter. And you know, we were talking about the Denise case where this UFO sprinkled these magnetic probes into her tree. And we actually got, you know, pretty good evidence from that from two labs. But, you know, he said it was Jupiter. And the funny thing is, though, the audience laughed when he said they saw Jupiter. Now, when it aired, they left in what he said, but they edited out the laughter. You know, there was another portion where I made a statement about the witnesses having the courage and integrity to come forward and say what they saw, even though it's not believed. And the whole audience applauded when I said that. I mean, it was incredible. I said to myself, "Wow, that's gonna play really well on TV when it shows." They cut that whole thing out. It was amazing, you know. You know, then I made a comment that the Denise case had seven witnesses. These other two girls, Jennifer and Brittany in Kentucky, they had five witnesses. I said that's 12 people. I said, now, isn't it interesting that these 12 people could have just served on a jury, did their duty, walked outside and saw a UFO, they would have been believed in the court, and what they ruled would have been law, and yet they walk outside and see a UFO, and people would question them and laugh at them. They cut that out also. I mean, it was, and there had to be six different things that I said. You know, matter of fact, at one point, Anderson Cooper said, well, you know, the government can't keep secrets, and how did we keep this a secret? And, you know, they only showed part of what I said. You know, I said, wait a minute, Anderson, we kept the Manhattan Project secret. And he said, well, this isn't the 1940s in the Manhattan Project. I said, well, we also kept a stealth fighter secret for 12 years, and you can imagine what we really have now since it's 36-year-old technology. And everything that was said that made a lot of sense to support the witnesses got cut out. And, you know, and I ended up speaking to the producer, and of course he said, well, you know, we were running over and we had to edit out a couple of minutes, so it was nothing against you, but, you know, I'll put it to your witnesses. To your listeners, they applaud the witnesses, they edited out, they laugh at the skeptic, they edited out. I give three or four other good, solid answers to their questions. When Anderson would talk to the skeptic, he would then ask me, John, what do you got to say about that? And they cut it out. So you tell me if that's editing to hit a certain amount of time, or is that editing to make the witnesses not seem credible?
I would say it's both.
Yeah.
You know, they had a chance, if they needed to edit because of time, they had the opportunity to cut some of the skeptic stuff out. They didn't do that. But that's normal for lamestream media. And, you know, Anderson Cooper saying that the government can't keep a secret, I mean, the Manhattan Project is one. How about that helicopter that crashed in the alleged killing of bin Laden? Well, that was a secret helicopter.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And that's what he brought up. He said on the show, we knew every aspect about the killing of bin Laden. They couldn't keep that secret. And, you know, but yet he, like, cut away right away that they couldn't respond to it. And I was going to say, Anderson, are you kidding me? I mean, you actually think that was journalism that found out about the killing of the terrorist bin Laden? You don't think that the president leaked that because it was really good press for him? Are you joking? I mean, he actually said to the audience, and the audience, as you know, you got to love people, but they're really ignorant. You know, they all agreed with him. Oh, yeah, the government can't keep secrets, and we found out about bin Laden's killing. Yeah, that wasn't an accident.
How about the SR, what is it, SR-71?
Yeah, 71.
Went into service in 1965, and we found out about it in the 1980s when it was retired.
Yeah. I mean, every one of those projects at Area 51 was a secret, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had the spy planes, the SR-71, the stealth aircraft. There was also another one in between. I can't think of what it was. But, you know, take a look at the stealth aircraft. It came out, it was a 1976 technology that we revealed in either 88 or 90. I thought it was for the first Desert Storm that we had brought that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 12 years. Nobody knew about that. And what can you imagine? I mean, just take that line of thinking. What are we really working on now if the stealth aircraft is the best that's out there and it's 1976 technology? And you know, this almost kind of goes against ufology, because if he had asked that, I would have said, yeah, I think a lot of what we're seeing right now as far as UFOs, that the triangular-shaped ones, that TR-3B that people talk about, I absolutely believe that that's ours. And that's what, you know, a lot of people see when they see that triangular craft with three lights on it. I mm-hmm. think that's our military's.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that. However, one of the favorite words of debunkers is the word most. And one of the favorite trigger phrases they will use it in is something like this. Well, most of the things that get reported as UFOs are just U.S. military aircraft. And, you know, the problem with that, John, is the person saying that would have to have the highest clearance in this land to know that to be a fact. And if they had it, they couldn't be on TV saying it.
Right.
So the instant a debunker says something like that, then, you know, we can right then label this guy as, you know, total fraud, because
yeah.
he doesn't have the highest clearance in the land, and the proof he doesn't is because he's on TV talking about it.
And, you know, there was one point where he made this comment about MUFON using regressive hypnosis, and he said that's an absolute shame that MUFON would do that and try to plant memories. And, you know, Anderson Cooper asked me, well, what do you got to say about that? I said, Anderson, you know, hypnosis is a tool no different than a polygraph, which we use, no different than video analysis, which we do, no different than taking a statement. You know, but they cut that part out, too. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what you were saying about the clearance, you know, I can't help but think, it's been bothering me now for almost a year. John Alexander, you know, he wrote that book, and he was a speaker at the MUFON Symposium in California last year. And, you know, I was sitting there at the symposium trying to figure out why Story Musgrave John Alexander were even there speaking. But he did make a comment that he believes in life in space, but there's no cover-up. He's looked into it, and as high as he could go, he can't find that anybody actually knows about this. Now, you tell me that that isn't the cover story to give you a little bit of hope that there's life in space and that he isn't in with them in the cover-up and a spook, just like all these others that are trying to make you think that it's not here.
Well, I don't know whether he's on their payroll or not. I strongly disagree with the statement that he made that you've just quoted or alluded to, that there is no cover-up. There very definitely is a cover-up, and it's a well-documented cover-up.
You know, it would have been so cool to do a debate with Edgar Mitchell and John Alexander, because Alexander says he's gone up the totem pole and asked all these people. There's no agency, there's no group, there's nobody looking into this. You know, and then you talk with Edgar Mitchell, who is obviously an astronaut who's never seen a UFO. But, you know, his counter is that he has spoken to numerous people that would be in the know, that have seen it, that are in agencies looking into this, and it's a real phenomenon. They've seen it. You know, it's real. So wouldn't that have been a really good debate? Maybe I can do that if I can get them over here into Pennsylvania and have the two of them debate whether this is covered up or not. But you know, Kevin, I when I watched this on 2 weeks after we filmed it, and then it was actually on television, you know, I kind of sat back in my chair after saying, what happened to that? What happened to that? What happened to what I said? And I said to myself, well, isn't it typical? You know, you have the Brookings Institute in 1960, takes a look at the implications of extraterrestrial contact. You have the Rand Institute with that, you know, infamous document that I guess nobody really has. But, you know, both of them talk about not being able to tell the people can't handle the truth. You have to make fun of the people reporting it, and you have to just deny, plausible deniability, which is why the skeptic was on. And I said, this fell right in line with that. I mean, the answers I gave were so good to the responses of the skeptic, and they cut that stuff out. So, I'll give you a few other thoughts that I had. You know, over here in Pittsburgh, it aired on NBC, you know?
Tell you what, let's hold that because we have a break coming up. And
okay.
When we come back from the break, we'll pick up right there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are off the porch and running with the big dogs tonight. And every night. But tonight, we are talking with John Ventry, recently retired, very recently retired, just this last Friday, and held a very high position with a very large company, and is a UFO investigator. We'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, John Ventry. John, you were just about to tell us a story when we got cut off by the break. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, there were a couple more points, you know, I wanted to make with this was, you know, they also had this psychic medium on the show. And that was probably the last 10 minutes of the 40 minutes or so that we were on. And, you know, I got nothing against mediums and psychics, because, you know, and I would have said this if they had asked me, that the police, you know, use people who have these abilities and you know, we use, what, 3% of our DNA and 8% of our brain capacity. I'm sure there's some people that have this ability. But, you know, they had this woman on, and he actually polled the audience. Only one person in an audience of about 200 or so, maybe more, raised a hand and said that they believed what she was saying. So, you know, and it was actually kind of comical. She was talking about Anderson Cooper being from Lemuria. You know, so you think if they were going to cut something out, you think they would have cut the psychic medium out. But, you know, I think that was left in there, you know, because you lost credibility on the show. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the website for the Anderson Cooper show, for that day's show, there were 9 pages of comments on there. Disagreeing with having the psychic medium on, about the, you know, the Joe Nichols, you know, what he said about the witnesses, et cetera. But, you know, if they were going to cut anything out, that's something they should have cut out. Because actually, when the show started, they sprung the medium on me, and the producer said, well, you know, can you support the medium? I said, no, there's no place in this show with what we're doing right now with 3 witnesses, a skeptic and myself, for a psychic medium. I mean, we have the evidence from these cases. What do we need a medium for? So it's funny how they didn't ask me anything. Well, they would have cut it out anyhow, because I would have said there's no place on the show for this medium, not with what we're doing. But that was one point, Kevin. And the other thing I wanted to say, and it, you know, you know, came out in a little bit of anger afterwards as I was thinking about it. You know, it aired in Pittsburgh on NBC. And I said to myself, you know, a week earlier, NBC got caught red-handed editing the George Zimmerman 911 call with Trayvon Martin, and absolute clearly making that thing sound like a racist phone call, and without playing the full content of it. And I said, well, you know, this aired in you know, on NBC here, and this is what NBC does. You know, I won't watch NBC. I've never watched MSNBC. Because of how liberal it is and fictitious, but you know, it just left a real bad taste in my mouth to see it edited and see NBC do that 2 weeks in a row.
All right, now I'm trying to figure out why they would have a psychic on the show, and I can't think of anything. And you know, I have psychics on this show, and there are some that I think do genuinely have that ability, that gift. But it fits on this show. This show is about the world of the strange and the unexplained. And, of course, psychic ability is pretty much unexplained, and to some people, strange. But Anderson Cooper and a show about UFOs, I don't understand putting a psychic in there. Now, here is one observation, and I want to get your response to this. There are people, even within the UFO field, who lump UFOs together with paranormal. And I constantly say, if you can see it, if it could be touched, if you can take a picture of it, it's physical. Therefore, it's not paranormal. It may be outside our box of understanding, but it's not paranormal if it can be touched. I mean, if it landed, it's real material. You could walk up to it and touch it physically. Then that's not paranormal. It's just something unexplained, something strange. Unidentified. And let me get your response to that.
Well, you know, I had spoken to the producer, and I kind of got the feeling he was playing me a little bit, because he said to me that he had his own UFO encounter when he was younger, and he really believes in it. But as I'm talking to him, you know, I said to him about Project Blue Book and the UFOs over D.C. in 52. He didn't know anything about it. So I think when you talk to the lay person about UFOs, well, they're going to think, well, what kind of, you know, obviously this isn't his field, and if he asked my opinion, I would have not told him to put a psychic medium on. But I think it's all part of he didn't know enough about the topic, and he's probably reaching, well, I got witnesses, I got a skeptic, I got an investigator, what else can we add? Oh, the public would like somebody who's a psychic and stuff. And I tell you, they really had a good show going until they brought the psychic medium on, and it lost all credibility at that point. But I think it's just a matter of them not knowing anything about the topic, which is so typical. You know, you try to explain things to them. You know, and I've done radio shows, the big radio out of Philadelphia, and you know, I tried to tell them about the Brookings Institute doing a paper on the implications of extraterrestrial contact. The guy absolutely would not believe that they did that. He's saying, you're telling me that they actually looked at Brookings Institute in D.C.? They did that? They looked at UFOs? I said, yeah, the implications of UFOs. I could not convince that guy that they did that. So, you know, how do you go on these shows and you're trying to talk about things that you know are factual, certain aspects of it that are documented and factual, and they don't know anything about it. So they question the things you tell them that are absolutely real. And then when, you know, obviously they're doing a show, they had no idea what, you know, what to show on the show. So they threw in the, you know, the circus routine, you know. And you know what? The public loved it. I spoke to family members, people at work who saw it. They said, wow, that was a great show. Wow, that was unbelievable. But then you talk to the UFO community and you look at the 9 pages of comments and a lot of the emails that I received, which I forwarded to the producer, and very, very disappointed that Anderson didn't take the subject more seriously.
Well, you know, your first clue is when the producer says that he had a UFO experience and he's a believer. You know, what is there to believe? I'm looking at my computer screen right now. I don't believe in that computer screen. It's sitting there. I see it. I know it's there. There's not anything to believe about whether UFOs are real. It either they exist or they don't. And, you know, if you can take pictures of them, it's not a hallucination. Cameras don't photograph hallucinations. If you can take pictures of them, they are real objects reflecting light. And, you know, there's nothing to believe they exist. Now, there are questions about, you know, okay, well, where do they come from? Who's driving them? What do they want? There are questions about all of that. But do they exist? You know, if that's the approach that was being taken by the Anderson Cooper crew, then, you know, they're about 50 years behind the curve here. That argument's been settled. And actually settled by the U.S. government as well. The U.S. government, the military, there are memos that say it's a real phenomenon. So, you know, stick a fork in it. That argument's dead. And whenever somebody starts off with they are a believer, they're in the warm and fuzzy, muddy water of ignorance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think he was just looking for entertainment. Matter of fact, you know, when we did the show, he came up to me at the producer at the beginning of the show and said, make sure you get animated, make sure you're not passive. And after the first break, because I was answering things pretty calmly, he said, make sure you defend these girls and you get animated. So I did, you know. And as a matter of fact, I got some feedback from the MUFON board of directors. They weren't too happy with how vocal I got at the end of the show. But, you know, that was good for the show and the ratings and the public. As a matter of fact, I had a bunch of people tell me, wow, I couldn't wait. You know, we're seeing the commercials. I couldn't wait till the end to see you and Joe Nickel go head-to-head. And, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I got pretty loud with him, you know, and told him that, you know, he just doesn't look at the evidence.
Well, somebody needs to get loud with Joe Nickel. You know, Joe Nickel has kind of self-appointed himself as Deputy God.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Nickels needs to be shouted down.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, Kevin, I got the best of him in every response, and they cut it out. You know, it was so disappointing. As a matter of fact, when I spoke to the producer, he said, wow, you know, you did great afterwards when I spoke to him. And he goes, maybe in the fall we'll do another show. I said, look, if you're going to do a show, you got to listen to me and how to do the show. I said, if you want to do a show, you either do it where you have three ufologists and, you know, three skeptics so we can debate, or I said, why don't you just have us on to present the evidence to the audience? You know, and I said to him, he got real quiet when I said to him, you know, you got these three women on saying what they saw, and you bring a skeptic on. I said, would you have a skeptic if these were rape victims? Would you have a skeptic if these women were battered wives? I said, why do you got to have a skeptic on? Why can't you just have them there telling their story? I mean, you don't have a skeptic for every situation that's out there. He really didn't know how to respond to that. But
well, he's not going to tell you. The reason is because of that CIA guy up there in their boardroom.
Yeah.
You know, in their production meetings.
Yeah.
Now,
you know,
it may not be someone being actually paid by the CIA, but it's somebody that answers to them. And, you know, they're... What we are discussing here tonight is, of course, the show that you were on, but we're discussing really the fact that media in this country is controlled. There is no free media in this country except for the independents, like this show and like other shows. Big media are absolutely controlled right out of Washington.
Absolutely. There's five companies, gigantic companies, that own all the broadcasting in this country. You know, and you know, it's funny, I remember a couple of years ago, you know, I'm over in Pennsylvania, and the Sci-Fi Channel did that Kexberg special, and Leslie Keene and the Sci-Fi Channel, they sued NASA, and they actually won it. They had to turn over the evidence on Kexberg to the Sci-Fi Channel and the, you know, investigative journalist and stuff. And then, like, a year or so later, I hear that NBC bought the Sci-Fi Channel. And I said to myself, well, that's the end of that. Sci-Fi Channel was trying to do the right thing in that genre, which, you know, for them is more entertainment and science fiction, but they were looking into this UFO thing. And once NBC bought them, that was the end of an independent-type network taking a look at it because they won. And, you know, and you'll never see that again out of the Sci-Fi Channel because NBC owns them.
Well, and it is totally, completely unfortunate. But it's happening. You know, all of the independents are falling. They either get bought out or put out. And I can tell you, since day one of this show, they've been trying to put us out. Since day one, we've been fighting and struggling. And so far, we've won, but by the skin of our teeth. And that's why you heard me say at the top of the show, if people don't stand with us, we won't stand. We can't stand. And, you know, and then another voice goes. And what we get more and more is just the homogenized pablum of, you know, just nonsense that leaves everybody saying, well, that tasted awful, and leaves everybody saying, they want more. We have to step away for a break. We will be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, John Ventry, and we are talking about recent experience that he's had. He was on television being interviewed by Anderson Cooper, and he has been telling us about how a lot of what he had to say got cut out. And as we went away for break, I had been commenting on the fact that major media out there is totally controlled, folks. You are being fed propaganda. You're not being fed straight facts. You are being fed propaganda. And they slant it, they cut it, they edit it, they make it look like they want it to look. And, you know, NBC got into the Zimmerman thing and got caught. They edited the 911 call to make it appear that it was totally a racist thing. And there are people that have been beaten up now by gangs of young black people who are enraged over the situation. They've been beaten up by these people in Florida and in other places around the country. It's not being reported by major media, but it is happening. And NBC has the blood of every one of those people on their hands. They started it. It's totally propaganda, and in my opinion, the blood of every person that's been beaten as a result of that, it's on the hands of the thugs that did it, but it's also on the hands of NBC for sparking it and starting it. But they do this all the time with UFO stuff. And they do it with other stuff too, not just UFO information. So where do we go from here? I've kind of titled tonight's show UFOs 2012 and Beyond. What's the next step? Where do we go from here? We know the media is not the ball game.
Well, you know, it actually amazes me when I do a interview with a small town paper, you know, like the local La Trobe paper or the Greensburg paper or the Mount Pleasant paper. I mean, they will print everything that I say. It just goes to show that the long reach, really, you can't get down to the internet. You can't get down to the small town papers because they can't control those. But when you get something that's mainstream, like on NBC, like the Times or the Washington Post, that is and I've seen it. It's absolutely controlled. I mean, you take a look at the National Press Club. And the three times that has been held, you know, 2001, 2007, 2010 in D.C., and we had all those witnesses, their testimonials, you know, they would testify in front of Congress, they signed an affidavit, and only smaller newspapers covered it. This last one in 2010, it was so obvious. They sent a guy from the Washington Post. He shows up late. So he wasn't even there at the start of it. And you read his article, and he concludes it by saying that the best part of this news conference were the cookies that they served. But then you read some of the other newspapers that covered it that were smaller town papers and covered it as news. So you're 100% right. You know, I'll give you another example. I know we don't want to get too much into politics. You know, my daughter, who's out of state, sends me a text today saying that, do you know that there's a sheriff in Arizona trying to stop illegal immigration and the president's going after him? And I said, yeah, I contributed to Sheriff Joe Arpaio to fight President Obama because this is exactly what happens. If you don't use your brain, everything is going to be vanilla, everything is going to be controlled, and you don't get to ever hear the truth. You're going to get to hear, you know, what they want you to hear.
You had the ear of congressman, and I know that it was not in the context of UFOs, but you had monthly meetings with senators and congressmen in your position with the company from which you retired. Do you find that these people are pretty switched on, or are they pretty much as stupid as the rest of America?
You know, I had a lot of conversations with the chief of staff and deputy chief of staff about the UFO phenomenon, you know, and they told me that the congressman I was dealing with did not believe in UFOs. And matter of fact, you know, Bill Burns is trying to write a book on the Fort Hood shooting, the shooter there, And, you know, Bill Burns gets into other things. He used to run a senior care center. It's not just UFOs with him. And, you know, Bill asked me, he knew the congressman that I personally dealt with. Can you get me an interview with him on this book? It had nothing to do with UFOs. And we actually had it set up, and it got canceled in November. And I have not been able to get this thing rescheduled for Bill. He has himself, a psychologist, wanting to talk to this congressman about, really the childhood of this shooter and why this happened. And I'm starting to wonder myself, I think that the congressman doesn't want to be associated with anyone that could say it's UFOs, that, you know, to be seen in D.C. at dinner with Bill Burns could be not good for his reelection. And that's actually what I'm thinking right now. So, I haven't found... the few that I've talked to, but again, I don't think they know anything about it. You know, I don't think they've ever looked into it, and they're not asking these questions because the days of, a Senator Barry Goldwater or, the courage of President Reagan to get up and talk about UFOs and the possibilities and General MacArthur with the things they said, those days are over. You saw the way Kucinich got laughed off of the stage 4 years ago when he said he was at Shirley MacLaine's ranch and saw a UFO. That is just, it's such a shame that people, they go with, I don't want to say people are stupid, but, if you give them cable TV and McDonald's and Dancing with the Stars, they're happy in life. At the same time, we got a bill that says you can arrest U.S. citizens on U.S. soil and being held indefinitely if we think they're terrorists.
Yeah, if we suspect. Yeah, just if we think.
Mm-hmm. Suspected. We can hold them as terrorists. We're building this gigantic NSA data center in Utah to listen to every cell phone call, read every email. Nobody cares. That Homeland Security bought 450 million hollow tip shells. What do they need them for? We got detention centers around the country, FEMA detention centers, I believe 5 or 6 geographically located. Nobody asks a question about it. I mean, this is incredible that this is going on in America, and you got maybe 3% of the population that questions anything. You know, I am absolutely pro-America. I was always a love it or leave it American. I still am if it comes down to it for national security. But, I don't think you can take the First Amendment and throw it out the window. I can't imagine where we're headed in 5 years.
I can, and I'll tell you, and it's not going to be 5 years. The U.S. Congress right now are considering proposals to turn governance of the Internet over to the United Nations. And bit by bit, they have, over the years, over my lifetime, they have given away more and more and more and more of our sovereignty to the United Nations. And the next thing up will be signing a treaty in the United Nations banning guns in the hands of private citizens. And what they always say is an international treaty trumps the Constitution. And so that's what's up next, and that's coming. So freedom of speech and Second Amendment right to keep and to bear arms are on the chopping block next by this group of elected traitors. And they're going to do it. You watch. They're going to do it. But as long as I still have a microphone and as long as I still can get on the Internet, I will continue broadcasting and continue to be, a free and independent voice. Well, as long as I can afford to do so, which is questionable at the moment. But... the point is that regardless of what they do in Washington, UFOs are not going to go away. If anything, UFO sightings are increasing around the world. both in frequency and I would say intensity of the sightings. It's not going to go away. But we are. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, John Ventry. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. John, we're going to, in just a moment, open up the telephone lines and invite the audience to join us. Before we do that, let me ask you a question about your experience on television with Anderson Cooper. If you had it to do over again, now you were told by some of the witnesses absolutely no, they would not do it unless it was live. If you had it to do over, would you do it or would you insist that it be live?
Well, I didn't know that the daytime show, the Anderson Cooper show, was taped. I actually thought initially that I was on Anderson 360 at night. It wasn't until like a couple weeks later that I was talking to a producer and he told me it was taped. But, you know, I would do it again. And as a matter of fact, if he called to do the show in the fall, like he said he might, I would, because the reason is they're going to get somebody to do the show and they'll get some hack. They'll get somebody, you know, with his own agenda or not factual. At least the things I said on the show were factual and verifiable. And I did a great job defending these three witnesses. So, yeah, I would do it again. But, you know, having done the first show that I've done that's taped like that, you know, I've been on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, but those are, you know, TV shows. I would have a lot more to say next time if they want to do the show. And I do want to talk a little bit about the two girls that were on the show from Kentucky. They had a really good case, but Kevin, I would because somebody's going to do it. So I might as well tell the truth because I think I'm pretty knowledgeable in this field and try to inform the public.
Let's talk about the three girls from Kentucky. What about that?
Yeah, well, actually, the three witnesses, one was from Bucks County with the case that Bob Gardner and I investigated, but the two girls from Kentucky, Brittany and Jennifer, what a good case they had. They're both 22 years old. They were out in, I think it was March of this year, with their three guys, and they were going to go drinking, and they didn't, and they were out in a country area in Kentucky, and they see this UFO. So they start to chase the thing, right? So they're going down these country roads and they come over a hill and there's a group of UFOs in this field. I mean, what an incredible case. And, so they actually drove up, you know, as close as they could get, and this one UFO approaches them and they get out of the car. The girls get out of the car. The guys stayed in the car. Cowards. The two women get out of the car, and right away I'm thinking to myself, page 471 of the Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control, don't get out of the car, don't get under a UFO because of radiation and psychological issues if you're abducted, but obviously they weren't aware of that. They were just two girls that a year out of college, but here's the thing under the hypnosis that came out. Really, really interesting story on these two girls. The one girl, I can't remember who it was, Jennifer, I believe it was, she had a negative experience with this whole thing. Both girls under the hypnosis remember being in a circular room with kind of like a shelf that goes all the way around the room, and they were naked. And the one girl, Jennifer, she starts to walk forward and something grabs her from the back of the neck, and she thought she was wearing some sort of a collar, and it kind of threw her back against the wall like she was being held back. And she said she had a unbelievable migraine headache afterwards and felt like she was manhandled. Now, the other girl, Brittany, hers is a really interesting story. This girl was in the hospital years earlier, I believe, as a preteen. Maybe she was a teenager, 13 or so. She had leukemia. And she was supposed to get a bone marrow transplant and go through chemo and everything. And she had this angelic encounter in the hospital. And she never got the chemo or anything. And she was cured. I mean, when they tested her, you know, the following day, it's, she had no cancer. It was gone. So the interesting thing is, though, her regressive hypnosis, she says this is the same being that visited her in her hospital room, you know, 8-9 years earlier when she was sick. Actually, I think she was 16 when she was sick. So it was 6 years earlier. And she said the creature took her hand, and when they made contact, she said, I knew this was okay, and I knew this was the being that visited me. And she said, I felt such sadness coming from this creature, that the creature was really sad, and she don't know why. Maybe it has to do with, you know, the state of this planet, or, you know, I have no idea. But what an interesting positive contact she had, but yet the other girl felt like she was manhandled and thrown up against the wall and came away with a headache. They had a couple hours of missing time. This whole event started, I believe, 11 o'clock at night, and at 3:30 they ended up at some country store to get, you know, some soda and water to drink, and they said, wait a minute, how can it be 3:30 in the morning? They thought it was about an hour encounter, you know, chasing these things, and I found it very interesting listening to the two girls, and especially Brittany, who talked about the angelic encounter, and she says, you know what? She said, I believe that this was a UFO encounter in the hospital. For some reason, they cured me, and this was the same being. So, you know, and you could even take this whole line of thinking and go into the Bible and, you know, ancient mythology and talk about, you know, was it angels or was it UFOs? Is it Zeus and Apollo and you know, and Hermes, or is it UFOs?
Well, you know, if you get into the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you have a craft that lands and a being that gets out and talks to John. And, he's recognized as an angel. Most people think angels have wings. There's no such thing as a race called angels. That's a job description. You know, it's like saying, what do cops look like? Well, like everything. That's a job description. But John starts to worship this angel, and the angel says to him, don't do that, because I am from among your brethren. So he's human, but serving as an angel. Angel means messenger. So do angels come in what we call UFOs? Well, sometimes apparently they do. Now, having said that, perhaps that will spark controversy. I'm pretty sure it will. And, of course, I shy away from controversy. We would like to invite the audience, if you have a question or a comment for John, perhaps you saw this episode of Anderson Cooper, and you have a comment or a question about it. Even if you didn't, if you have a comment or question, we want you to join the conversation. And the way you do that is you pick up your telephone and you push this combination of numbers in this order. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Mr. Ventry.
Hi.
My question to you is, since you retired as the public affairs director, have you lost any influence with the senators that you met with previously?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, they know I'm retired, and I've already been replaced. And the UFO thing is not something that you can really bring up with these guys. You know, like I said, I talked about it with the deputy chief of staff and the chief of staff. And you know, I'll tell you something funny. We were at I'm on the board of Rotary. And I went to, Pennsylvania. I'm on the New Stanton Youngwood Rotary, and I went to the Greensburg Rotary to get up and talk about UFOs to the group. There was about 100 people there. Well, that day, the congressman and his chief of staff from Washington are sitting right there because he belongs to a Rotary at the other end of Pittsburgh in Mount Lebanon. And so he's attending. I start talking about our UFO conference coming up and UFOs. You had to see. I was looking right at him and his chief of staff. Her jaw drops. Like, what? And turns to him, and I see him, like, looking at her, saying he's straight as an arrow, talking to her. Like, she was stunned when I started talking about UFOs. So, I mean, it's really nothing. Over lunch, I can talk about it with the deputy chief of staff, because we got pretty friendly over the last 10 years. And, you know, he said to me, it's not, the congressman doesn't agree and doesn't believe in UFOs. And the producer of the show said that Anderson Cooper does believe there's life in space, but does not believe that they've been here.
Well, you're not even sure what that producer is telling you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Yeah.
Also, you mentioned about Senator Barry Goldwater, and Kevin does a little thing during his breaks where Barry Goldwater talks about the time where he asked General LeMay Curtis about UFOs, and your praise of Barry Goldwater, I looked at this as thinking Curtis LeMay told him don't do that, don't ask me again, and it was like if Senator Goldwater put his tail between his legs and that was it.
Well, you got to understand something.
Okay.
Senator Goldwater was in the U.S. Air Force Reserve. He was a brigadier. LeMay outranked him.
I think what's also significant about it, you know, and Goldwater, didn't he run for president? I think what was significant, though, was when he asked to see the UFO room and the UFO evidence at Wright-Patterson, which I will be visiting at Wright-Patterson at the MUFON Symposium in the first week of August, but I'm sure they're not going to show me the room. But, you know, when he asked to see the room, the response from General Curtis LeMay came back is that you cannot have access to the UFO room, the UFO evidence. He never said there wasn't a UFO room or evidence, so I think I take that to be a confirmation that there is UFO stuff at Wright-Patterson, or there was at that time. There was no denial that, you know, it didn't exist, only he told Barry Goldwater, you know, you can't get access to it, you can't see it. So in my mind, that's a confirmation. But just think about, you know, one of our senators nowadays coming forward asking about UFOs. I mean, I remember Governor Richardson, because he was in Nevada, came out wanting to look into Roswell again. And it was about 2 weeks later he changed his whole stance and said, well, you know, I'm the governor of Nevada, of New Mexico, and it's a big tourist location. So, you know, that's why I was asking. Somebody got to him and told him to back off and don't ask about about what's going on over in Roswell. So you're not going to see that. And it's such a shame that, you know, you get a handful of people who've got the courage to say, wait a minute. You know, even one of the other things I wanted to bring up with Anderson Cooper, when he said that they know everything. Well, you didn't know about WikiLeaks, you know, and I'm not at all in agreement with, you know, a military officer giving out secrets and could have compromised people, you know, that were serving in Iraq and, Afghanistan. But how much of that did you know, Anderson? Since you know everything, you didn't know anything about that. Look at all of that political history. Even if it wasn't that important, you didn't know any of that unless that stuff was leaked. Mm-hmm. So how much do you really know? My understanding is 60% of all government documents are redacted and blacked out, so we don't really know our political history.
Yeah. Jerome, you have another question or comment?
Sure. I like the idea, Mr. Ventry, when Kevin asked you if you would appear again on his show, and you said on Cooper Anderson's show, and you said yes. How many people were actually in the audience? A rough idea.
There had to be 150, 200 people. It was a live audience. I didn't find out until like 2 weeks before the show that it was actually taped and edited. But there was about 150 to 200 people in the audience. About a quarter of the people raised their hands that they believed in UFOs. And I gotta say, you know, the beginning of the show was really good. I mean, he showed information from an AOL poll, you know, although his information said 34% of the public believe in UFOs. It's actually higher than that. It's 60% believe in UFOs, 80% believe in life in space. So, I mean, that it could have been such a good show, and, you know, and it didn't turn out that way. But, yeah, I would appear again because somebody has to do it. So, you know, they're going to get some joker out there who's going to say stuff that's not even factual. At least I can tell them, you know, whether it gets edited or not, I can at least tell them about things that I know are true.
And you know what else? Just like you told Kevin about what really happened behind the scenes at this show, I'm sure those 150 people are telling friends of theirs exactly what you told Kevin.
Well, yeah, you know what? I bet you they walked away from that show. Like I said, they applauded when I said something about the three women, that they had the courage and integrity to come here and say what they saw, even though it's not accepted. The whole audience applauded. You know, and when Joe Nichols said they saw Venus, I mean, the whole audience laughed. Now, I'm sure those 150, 200 people went home and watched the show and said, wait a minute, what happened to this? What happened to that? That's not the show we attended.
Exactly. Mr. Ventry, thank you for being a guest, and Kevin, thank you for taking my question.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number to call if you have a question or if you have a comment. And listen, if you saw this TV show with Anderson Cooper and John Ventry and Joe Nichols, we especially want to hear from you. Want to hear from everybody, but especially if you saw this show. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
I actually did see part of that show.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got the feeling that John was being shafted, so I turned it off. But, John, I do have one consolation for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Brent.
Since NBC got caught with its pants down on the Trayvon Martin thing, they're just ruining themselves. At least...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're cutting their own throat, you know, when they do stuff like that. But you know what's interesting? If you're in the Pittsburgh area, and this is almost funny, Kevin, the last 10 minutes of the show, when I got into it with Joe Nichol, they went to a special bulletin they caught this kid, Konias, who killed the armed guard and stole all that money and went to Florida. So nobody here in the Pittsburgh area got to see the end of the show, which was heavily edited, but when Joe Nichols and I went at it, I actually had to go to YouTube to get a copy that I could see how the show ended, because up to that point it had been edited four or five different times. But no, I agree with you. You know, MSNBC, NBC, I won't watch anything on those two channels ever again. You know, it's Fox News and it's History and Discovery channels for me.
Fox News is getting kind of questionable. I just stick with History and Discovery.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm supposed to do some filming with Discovery Channel Canada coming up next month. And, you know, I'm hoping now that I'm retired I could try to get into some shows, because I think UFOs are coming back. You know, we've had a long run of ghost hunting shows, and I think they're losing a little bit of the interest because some of that stuff is faked for the show, you know, to get your attention. And I think you're going to see, as a matter of fact, I know, and I can't say too much, I think you're going to see a number of UFO-related shows coming back.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Brent. All major media... regardless, you know, Fox claims to be fair and balanced, and then CNN takes them on and makes fun of them and says, and you call that fair and balanced, and then CNN pulls all kinds of hijinks too. You know, if it's major media, folks, if it's major media, it's major bull. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And the caller has hung up. All right, 623-444-5889. And let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
And, yes, I saw that Anderson program, and I just sort of sat there and just shook my head. It's more of the same old stuff.
You know, I agree with you. The only major media that on television that did it right was Larry King. Think about it. When Larry King used to have the guests on, I mean, he was pretty fair with his questions. And, you know, outside of Larry King, I haven't seen anything. Peter Jennings, none of them. I haven't seen anything on regular TV that has looked at this as news that it could even be remotely possible. So, you know, my hat's off to Larry King.
Yeah, I agree. I like those specials that Larry did. Far as modern news goes, and I might get in trouble for this, but the only newscast I watch is RT at RT Television. And that'll give you some stuff that you won't hear on regular networks that we watch.
Now, you're from Kentucky. Did you, what did you think about the two girls that were on, and were you familiar with the area they were talking about in Kentucky where they saw the UFOs?
Right now, what has that been now, about three or four weeks ago?
I think it was March when they saw the UFOs, and it aired April 24.
Yeah, well, I watched it, and but right now, it escapes me what where the three girls said that they took place.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know it was a country town, and you know, I don't think it was out by Cincinnati. I think it was probably in the southern half of the state. I can't even remember where it was. But I'm just curious, since you were from Kentucky, if you know, if it rang a bell with you.
Well, I live in western Kentucky, close to Evansville, Indiana.
Okay. All right.
So it's on the other end of the state for me.
Yeah. And you know, those girls were so believable. You know, they were just country girls, 22 years old, just graduated college. And you could just see, I mean, the one girl, I think it was Brittany, I could see her gritting her teeth as Joe Nickel was telling her that she was either, you know, was sleeping and had just woken up and was still dreaming, or she was high. And that girl, you could see it on television too. She was just like gritting her teeth. And that's why when I defended them, then they cut it out. What a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think if I were in his presence, and I've been in some presence of other debunkers like Phil Klass. I knew him personally.
Yeah.
I would have just thought to look at him and just yawn at him. I think that's all you have to do.
Well, you know, he didn't get the better of the arguments. Every single thing that they asked, and I got to say, Anderson did a pretty good job with it. I mean, he started the show saying, you know, how many planets are out there, and he believes that there's life in space, but, you know, he needs proof about UFOs visiting, and his questions were good. But, you know, it was just, the shame was when he went to me and asked, what do you got to say, and I gave a good answer, that part got cut out.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. We have to step away for a break, and we will be back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a couple of minutes and continue with your opportunity to call and talk to John Ventry. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
Florida, and you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. Healing medicine for the mind.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is John Ventry. And, John, let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
John from San Diego.
Yes, John. Hi. You have a question or comment for John Ventry?
Yes, I do. Hi, June, John. Same name as mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, John, can you hear me?
Yes, he can hear you. Go ahead, John.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The phone's kind of clicking. John, I got a question about the incident itself when it comes to the two girls, and also, have you ever heard of another mass abduction ever happening at Fort Benning, Georgia? Because I wrote a book called Incident...
Okay, let him answer your question first.
I'm not familiar with the Fort Benning, Georgia incident. Yeah.
Well, I found two people at Fort Benning, and they want to talk. They know what happened to them, and I know what happened to them. And, again, what we're getting stopped by is the people who are friends, and some of them are, like, writers and investigators, and it's sort of kind of blocking us away because, again, they don't believe in kind of inductions like that with mass abductions. So it's really difficult at times, I know, to explain to everybody what happens to these kind of abduction cases. So, my question, John, is it possible that is there any way I could get some help in trying to find the right people to have them answer these questions?
Yeah, I'll tell you what the two girls from Georgia said. They initially were talking to UFO investigators from another, little group, local group, and they didn't get any help at all. And matter of fact, and they said it on air, too, it wasn't until they got with the Mutual UFO Network that they got their questions answered and got some real help and good, help with their situation. So I would say for you and your witnesses there in Georgia, the first step is to go to MUFON.com, put your information in as a sighting, and, that we'll assign an investigator to take a look at it. But, those two girls from Kentucky, that was their advice. They said, we were dealing with some local UFO group, and it just was, it was terrible. And it wasn't until they contacted MUFON that they felt they got some real good professional help and advice.
Well, John, I got another question before you go. Okay. Those two girls, when they were taken, those two girls sort of felt that there was definitely something going on with them, and they were abducted, of course, and set aside, and the treatment was that they were levitating on the wall or levitating somehow with a, I don't know, it comes back to my mind that it's, they were levitating on a piece of slab, metal slab, and floating. Do you have any idea on that? Because I...
Okay, let him answer.
Yeah, I don't think they were levitating and they weren't on a, I can't remember if the one girl said she was on a table, but I recall them saying they were standing in the room and the one girl got pulled back to the wall as she started to step forward. I from my recollection, they were both standing and, it was a circular room. There was kind of a countertop around it. And, but they were standing naked and they got pulled back against the wall. But the other girl made contact, the creature took her hand and it was the same one that she, dealt with in the hospital years earlier when she had leukemia.
So it brought back some memories about what happened to her then. That's amazing. John, is it possible that I can talk to you about this incident at Fort Benning?
Well, I don't have, you know, I'm in charge of Pennsylvania. I would say you go to MUFON.com and the local people there in Georgia will jump right on it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay, John, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, John. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And even though I haven't mentioned it tonight, it's open every night, and that is our flash message option for those of you who are not in the USA or not in Canada. And we've got two flash messages, John, that have come in. From Puerto Rico, Leonardo says, "Hi, Kevin and John. Good show tonight. John, what happened to the two cowards that stayed inside the car? Did anything happen to them? Were they probed or did they simply go to sleep?"
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. It was actually three guys that were in the car. And we didn't get into too much as to what they had to say because actually the case was investigated by the MUFON international director, Dave McDonald, and the state director, Brenda Smith. So it was really their case because I'm not, you know, from Kentucky, obviously. But, you know, it's a good question, you know, because those girls, everybody had missing time, and the girls got out of the car, and then, you know, they recall being in the ship. It would be interesting then to find out what the guys had to say. They did not want to pursue it. They didn't want any public recognition or be in the public eye regarding this. So, but there's a whole lot of questions you can ask. And, I was just appearing on the show, and these were the guests, and I got the initial report from the state director of Kentucky as to what happened. And I actually wish I could have sat down with the girls the night before because we were all there at the hotel. I didn't know who they were. I should have tried. I didn't even have their last name, actually. I would have loved to have sat down and got the whole story from them. But, there's a lot of questions you can ask, you know, of those guys, obviously.
Okay, Leonardo, thank you for that flash message. We have one from Ben in Ireland. Thank you, Mr. Ventry, for coming on the Kevin Smith Show and exposing the unethical practices of Anderson Cooper. Do you think the same sort of things are done by media over here?
Well, you know, you got Nick Pope over there in the UK, and I think certain countries, if you're connected to the United States, you know, and I love this country, but you know, I said years ago, why do you think we give so much money in foreign aid to all these countries? Because part of the deal is when you get this type of UFO phenomenon, you have to report it to the United States, and we get involved because, you know, we're after the technology, and that's what it really is all about as far as the Air Force goes and NASA, is to get your hands on the technology. So, yeah, I think it's all covered up, and I think that when you get countries that release their UFO files, I don't think you're getting the best cases. They're releasing some stuff, and they didn't have someone who sat there and read through 10,000 pages. So you end up getting a few good cases in there. But it's just like Project Blue Book when, they said that, that UFOs are not a threat to national security and the Air Force would no longer investigate them. And then you had that general come out, Bolander, and say, well, wait a minute, the best cases were not part of Project Blue Book. The ones that were a threat to national security were not part of Project Blue Book, and we will continue to investigate those. And I think that's what really happens. I think, you know, they're giving us some stuff, but they're not giving us the best stuff. That stuff is all hidden away. Or, like what happened with Roswell and with Kecksburg, when you finally take them to court and you get down to it, they lost the evidence. They misplaced the box with the Kecksburg evidence. And they got away with that because government is inefficient, right? Who's going to question the fact that they lost the box on Kecksburg?
Well, they may actually have. They've lost a whole bunch of computers that have all kinds of super secret information and codes in it. I remember, I think it was at Los Alamos, they misplaced hard disks that had the nuclear weapons codes in it.
Yeah.
And So yeah, they do lose things, and they do it, you know, at a grand scale. So they could have lost an alien spaceship.
I think it's just all part.
I'm sorry. I should have said they could have lost a Chinese wedding candle.
Yeah, no, it was a Chinese lantern.
Yeah.
But I think that's all part of the cover up too. Is that, you know, hey, look, we got this box of evidence. What are we going to do? Well, we got to take it to another room. So it goes to the UFO evidence room, you know, and, well, what are we going to say? Well, we just, hey, it's government. We lost it. Nobody's going to question it, and nobody did.
Got a question now that I thought of while you were speaking about this General Bolander saying, well, you know, the best cases, that the ones that were a threat to national security never were part of Blue Book. Well, he said, and those cases will continue to be reported in the same way as before, and we will investigate them. That seems to say that there are UFO cases that the military does consider a threat to national security. There are people who think that no UFOs would be a threat to national security, that they just won't do it. But the point is, you have the U.S. military basically admitting that there are some that are considered threats to national security, and they are investigated by another means and not through Project Blue Book. Do you think that that is behind, for instance, the space-based space surveillance system? The space-based space surveillance system is a fleet of 10 satellites, optical as well as remote sensors, and their job is to detect, to identify, and to track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive purposes. Do you think that perhaps the U.S. military has identified some that are real and are a threat to national security?
Well, I would have to think yes, and I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, you know, General Bolander went as far as actually naming the procedures of how they're investigated. He said it would be investigated under the Joint Air, Navy, Army Procedure 146, JANF 146, and Air Force Manual 55-11. So there are your two procedure manuals he quoted back in 1969 or 70, you know, saying how this thing is going to be investigated. 4 years ago, the Huffington Post questioned the Air Force on their procedure manual 206 as to why do you have how to report a UFO if you said you're not investigating them anymore. And then they immediately went and pulled that paragraph out of their procedure manual. So it's all there to investigate. But what it makes me think about, and I said this on the show too with Anderson Cooper, I said, Anderson, I would be more concerned if our military and our government didn't know about this. When he was trying to say that, you know, how could they keep it a secret? I said they have to know about it. We monitor everything. You got satellites, listening posts, you know, every email, every cell phone call. They see everything. They monitor, you know, from in the ocean too, from everything. I said, if we don't know about this, that would really worry me. You know, we're wide open for another Pearl Harbor, another 9/11, if we don't know about these type of things. But, you know, what it brings to my mind is General MacArthur, when he was speaking to the West Point cadets.
Tell you what, we have to hang on, have a break taking over. Remember, we'll pick up right there with General MacArthur, okay? We'll be back for you.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with John Ventry. And John, as we went away for break, you were about to tell us something about General MacArthur.
Yeah, I was, you know, as I try to reason through this whole thing about, you know, do we know, it's obvious that we have to know, you know, because of the way everything is monitored. But what concerns me, you know, is a couple of statements, let's say. General MacArthur addressing our West Point cadets years ago, it might have been 1952, somewhere late 40s, early 50s, he spoke to the cadets at West Point about an ultimate armed conflict with extraterrestrials, you know, species from outer space. You know, and you kind of wonder, you know, why is he saying that? Why is he saying that we would be given, you know, free technology and cures to every immune system disease? He didn't say that. You know, and then you get President Reagan four times addressing the UN and speaking about how our differences would, disappear if we were threatened from outer space by an alien species, you know. And I think that was as much as Reagan could say, you know, to kind of let the cat out of the bag and warn us a little bit, you know, without coming out and saying anything. But, you know, you notice that none of those addresses talk about anything good. They talk about an armed conflict. And it makes me wonder because, you know, I've talked to people about abductions and, you know, like the girl saying that this alien was very sad when she made contact with him. I don't know anybody that's really had good, you know, too many people that have had good experiences with this, with abductions. You know, the one girl did because she believes it cured her of her cancer while she was in the hospital. But most times it's not a positive experience when there is an encounter. So, you know, it worries me. And, you know, and I think about how easy it would be to take over this planet. You know, when you think about it, you know, and I read about more and more things. You look at HARP, right? So how hard would it be to blanket this planet with, you know, microwave frequencies that would disorient the people? How hard would it be to spread a virus through the air that would kill, you know, humans? How hard would it be to detonate some large devices in the oceans that would cause tsunamis all around the world, killing half the population that lives along the coast? I mean, it's not a hard thing to do when you think about a society that's 1,000 years ahead of us. And you know, and when you think about it, you know, I'm sure there's good aliens, there's bad aliens, but to get to where they are, where they can travel, you know, interplanetary, they have to have an economy, right? They had to have somehow got from a car to a plane to a spaceship. So they look at this planet, and what do you see? This is a beautiful planet. I mean, it's loaded with natural resources. Maybe they're only 50 years ahead of us. And our politicians, you know, certain people know that this thing is coming. Maybe it takes them 100 years to get here, but they know that it's coming. And that one day there will be this conflict, and we're trying to catch up with the black projects.
I hope you're wrong in that supposition. But yeah, it is a possibility. I hope that you're wrong. But there is this possibility. There are people who speculate that we already are capable of interplanetary spaceflight. And they base that on something, I believe it was said by Ben Rich of Lockheed Skunk Works, that we can already take E.T. home, that we already have the technology to do this. Now, if that is the case, it is just possible that some of our species have been out there and really ticked off some extraterrestrial race out there and maybe done something really stupid and then ran back home. And I mean, that's a possibility. And so, you know, there may be some retribution on its way here. I've heard that theory posited before. Again, it's a possibility, but it's, you know, I guess it's a possibility the moon is green cheese, but...
Well, think about this, Kevin. You know, and I've said this before, that the Air Force's space program, which most people don't know that the Air Force even has a space program, but it's been funded higher than NASA every year since 1982. They get $8.8 billion. That's what's reported is what they get. And, you know, I agree with you. You think about the movie Contact. Remember when that device collapsed and or was sabotaged and didn't work? Well, there was a separate one out, I think it was over by Japan, between these two mountains that nobody knew about. I would think that we are doing this type of stuff and that we're you know, 50 years ahead. And, you know, when the space shuttle's retired, well, we already got the X-37. It's a remote-controlled space shuttle that they could send out there, and it's probably been pretty far out there, maybe to other planets and back. It's remote-controlled. So, I mean, I would hope we're doing this. But the thing that scares me, and, maybe I'm just a pessimist, is I keep looking at a $15 trillion deficit and states with two more trillion. It doesn't make – I don't understand how we can be $50,000-$60,000 per citizen in debt. Well, maybe the deal is that certain people in most of the developed countries, Western society, we know that something's coming. And we're building these deep underground tunnels and military bases to protect ourselves. We're siphoning off, $500 billion a year into black projects, not, $8.8 billion. And we're preparing for this ultimate conflict that MacArthur talked about. I kind of wonder, maybe the $15 trillion never really mattered. Because what's coming, it's not going to matter. Just keep everybody happy. Give them Dancing with the Stars, McDonald's, cable TV, and this small group of special ops are going to take on this whatever's coming. And I really do feel that something is coming.
Well, something's coming. I would say this. I know more about our own species performance than I know about reactions and agendas of extraterrestrials. Based on what I know of us and what I have seen over a period of history from testimonies of extraterrestrials, I'm more afraid of our species than I am those guys out there in space. You know, there is something about our species that people don't often talk about, and that is we have a genetic nut button. I don't know what it is, and it's different for every person, but when someone touches your genetic nut button, you go nuts. We all do. And somebody flips the right switch, and all of a sudden a whole population is ready to go to war. And we just go nuts. And it's that way all the way around the world. It's that way in every country I've been in. Some people, we have thicker layers and veneers of sophistication than some other places, but we're all like that. We're very primitive. John, I want to thank you for being with us. It is time for me to bring this one in for a landing, but if you will, just stay on the line with me a moment, and I would like to chat with you for a moment after the show. Ladies and gentlemen, John Ventry, be sure you click the link under his picture. On my website, it says guest info, and that will pop open information about him and also a link to his website. And you want to be sure you get over there. You'll get to see a lot of information over there, and that you can also find out about his books and get his books there, too. All right. We have run out of time, and it is time for me now to say... My friends call me Steeline. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.